Hey guys, welcome back to Slightly Spiritual. Today we have one of Cindy and I's mutually good friends on the podcast, Amanda Tiberi. You may know Amanda from Instagram. She has a whopping 269,000 followers, which is freaking crazy. She is the founder of Olive and Grace Beauty and now Nebulous Soul Method, which we will talk about in the episode. I'll give you a brief synopsis of what we're going to chat about today. We're going to touch on the eclipse. We're going to discuss eye iridology. I don't know if I said that right, but I am trying my best right now. Amanda is going to read some famous eyes for us. She's going to read Cindy and I's eyes and talk about how you can read your eye at home and give us basically all the basics. We're also going to chat a little bit about physical pain in the body, and like if you have neck pain, what does it mean? And then Amanda will tell us a little bit about Nebula Soul. So Amanda, thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning.
Yes, thank you for having me today of all days. I feel
I
like we're
know.
always talking on like the perfect time.
It always falls on something crazy. So like today, obviously for everybody listening today on Monday, I think it's April 8th. It is the eclipse, but it is also a new moon in Aries. So before we dive into everything we're going to talk about, I wanted to ask Amanda and Cindy, if they had any thoughts on this eclipse and new moon, or like what is going on right now? Can you give us like a brief bite on that?
I'll defer to Cindy to lead
I was
off.
gonna defer to you to start. I loved your
Oh my
post earlier.
God. Defer to me. I mean, I think that I'll say that the collective feeling that I've been getting, and then I've kind of been seeing a lot of people saying the same thing, is like just this energy of like people moving forward on their path, like trying to start new things or starting new things, like moving in different directions, and then feeling like they are afraid to do so. Like there's a lot of fear coming up, there's a lot of like self-doubt coming up. And so, like, what I've been seeing a lot in like my Kundalini sessions and stuff is like people needing to step into their worth, needing to like break away from the things that they need to leave behind, and like really stepping into, their power, and to move forward on these new paths, which might be a little bit of scary. So that's kind of like the general energy that I've been feeling.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the fear thing, because if you aren't feeling your own fear, then I feel like half the posts out there are very fear-mongering and like fearful and like, you know what I mean? So like, I got enough of that going on. I'm like, I
Literally.
don't need more of it. I'm
Yeah.
not sure why. I don't know if it's like a historic like witch wound, as they say, of like in the past during eclipses, they didn't maybe know what was happening. And so it's almost like this old what's the word I'm looking for? Like ancestral, like lineage wound of like continuing that vibration moving forward. But I'm not here for it. I'm like, no. We can, at least I believe in free will, right? So we can turn this into something positive, or yeah, you can fall into fear and it can be like the worst day of your life. And but that can happen every day. Like, you know what I mean? So don't, you know what I mean? It's your day is what you make of it to a degree. It's manifesting, right? So my big key takeaways are, biggest thing right now is being in observance or observing what's coming up for you. Hence why we're all going outside to probably observe, or at least if you're in the United States, going out to look at or observe the eclipse. Also turn that inward, like what's coming up for you? How are you feeling? I put this in the post, but think back to where you were August 21st of 2017. What was going on in your life? That's not the last time we had a solar eclipse, because they happen all the time, or like a couple times a year, but it's the last time it was over the US. So there are probably some themes coming back up. Funny enough, that's like literally the day after I like started revealing soul. So that I'm laughing because I've just had like a huge leap in terms of followers and exposure this in the past like 2 weeks since then. So it's like this stuff is not a joke. Like there are things that are coming up that's either catapulting you, or it could have gone the other way. Like I could have been releasing revealing soul right now and moving on to something else. Like you, Amanda, you're starting like a new process and a new offering, which I've had the pleasure of doing. It's amazing. So it can go either way, but no matter what, even with an ending comes a new beginning. So just being an observation. And then the other big thing is taking time to reflect, go inward, journal, write, take notes, notice. There's one more thing I was gonna say. And things being revealed. I feel like this is like a spotlight, a flashlight on things that are happening. And I literally, it's like the moon is passing in front of the sun, right? That's what eclipse is. It's like what's blocking you, or it's gonna be revealing what's potentially blocking you on your path, right? But obviously blocks are sometimes just perceived, like you have a limiting belief maybe around like you can't make money doing what you love, or you can't leave your partner because you don't know if you can support yourself, or you don't know what you do, you know, like those belief systems that are so deeply rooted. Those are the types of things that are coming up with this energy, and maybe not necessarily today, but over the next few weeks, for revealing, releasing, reflecting. Again, it's Mercury retrograde, so anything with RE is also really good around this time. But it doesn't have to be scary. And it, again, you have free will. You can do with this energy what you want.
I love it. And I love both of your messages, because as Cindy said, it's funny because every single message I've seen, minus, I feel like the two of you, and Lauren O'Connell from Modern Astrologer also had a really good post. I want to say like over the weekend about it all, but it is a lot of fear mongering, and it's a lot of like, you know, buckle up and be afraid. And I think exactly like what you're saying, it is kind of what you make it, and you can either harness the energy or you can work against it. And it doesn't have to be this like huge scary thing, and like we don't want to live in fear over anything, let alone, you know, astrology that's meant to like help us and work with us. And yeah, certain things might be uncomfortable, but ultimately I think it helps you in the end. So I'm glad we touched on this, and I hope it's helpful for listeners. And of course, if you guys have any questions, you can always DM us at Slightly Spiritual Pod. So moving on to the topic at hand. First, I wanted to ask Cindy about your message from Spirit about eyes changing lately.
Oh, yeah. So it was so funny. I was like prepping for the podcast. Think about this. I had a client, I think it was last week. I don't know, all my weeks are running together. And it came through when I was channeling for her about literally her grandmother or something was mentioning my client's eyes. And I was like, is there something going on with your eyes, right? Like your physical eyes? I'm like, are you going to the eye doctor? She goes, it's so funny you say that. She's like, I'm on my second prescription of glasses in the last 6 months because my eyes keep changing and I'm having trouble. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious, because my sister, calling her out, Ashley also had the same thing, where she went to the eye doctor recently and literally like has like a 40-year-old eyes. She's not 40. She's a lot younger than that. But her doctor is like, your eyes have gotten like kind of like you're going to need readers essentially. And she was like, oh my God. And then I went to the eye doctor in the past few weeks and my eyesight got better. Like I was like, I walked in and I was like, my eyes haven't changed in 20 years. This is going to be piece of cake. Well, an hour later, I'm like, I don't know. Like we had like four different types of contacts in. Finally, I went down a prescription because I was like, I don't need as strong. Like my eyes have changed. I've gotten better. So this podcast is so timely, because if anyone else has experienced these things or noticing these things, one, you're not alone. This is happening. Two, what I was meditating on from Spirit is that we are meant to be really activating our third eye, our intuition right now. And that therefore, not that they're taking away anyone's eyesight. Like I'm not, please don't come at me. Okay. But our actual physical eyes are in transition because we don't need them as much. We're not going to be relying on them as heavily as we have been the past, I don't know, centuries. And we're supposed to be relying literally more for sight in our lives than where we're going with our third eye. And I don't have a wide like test batch for this, but if you have a aka it's like me and two other people right now, but if you have a strong meditation practice, if you are constantly tuning into your intuition, if you are practicing making decisions from your intuitive self, not your ego, your eyesight either will stay the same or perhaps even get better. Like you're going to notice the benefits of that. And then again, not if you're not doing those things, doesn't mean it's going to go bad, but you might start noticing a few things here and there. Of course, we're also aging. So you could be like, well, everyone's getting older, but the timing of it where it's all of a sudden every single person is like noticing it now feels a little too coincidental. And you guys know, I don't believe in coincidences. I just believe in synchronicities. So again, yes, it could be chalked up to just you're aging and blah, 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 but it's so interesting that it's all coming to light right now with this major eclipse and all this beautiful energy and the Earth's vibration is rising. Like we're supposed to be going inward, using our intuition, our third eye, not relying so much on what we can physically see and touch that way.
Wow.
So
Mine changed for the first time in 10 years.
Oh my God.
I will add you to the mix. I will add you
and
to
the test batch grows.
So I have had the same contact for like the same forever. But also I've always had the same in both eyes. So I like love it because I never have to worry about left and right. And now I went to the eye doctor and now I have a different prescription in each eye. And I was like pissed. And she was like, Amanda, like there are worse things. And I was like, no, I know, but now I have to like pay attention. I always mix them up. And like one of my right eye got a little bit worse, but like a little bit worse, but it's like, now they're not even. And of course I put the wrong ones in the wrong eyes all the time now, but like, yeah. And what is up with that? Mine changed. Never. Yeah. It never changes.
That's what happened to me. I'm like, it never changes. And all of a sudden it's changed. So I don't know whether it's again, it's not the end of the world, right? These are minor things, but it's just so fascinating. It's happening now. Like, and the same thing in like 20 years, my eyesight hasn't changed. And now all of a sudden it did. Like, it's just, it's a little crazy. It's a little.
Yeah. And I get a lot of questions about when we dive into iridology, I get a lot of questions about eye colors changing. And so like, that's something we can definitely touch on because, you know, that is extremely, extremely rare. If that happens, it's more about clearing the eye and the color, the true color being revealed more than it is change. So like if somebody says, okay, you know, my eyes used to be green and now they're blue. We see that a lot, like in like, I would say like the raw vegan space. If you do an extreme amount of cleansing for a long period of time, it's kind of like the way I view it is like a dirty fish tank that like looks kind of green, but it's really blue water. You can clear out some of that fogginess and you can clear out some of that like yellowy tint and they'll look more blue, but you're not actually changing the eye color. You're just clearing the eye. So your eye can't like suddenly be a different color. It doesn't change.
Wow.
Whoa. That is so cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, that is the perfect segue into eye iridology. So I'm curious to know, it's funny because like I watch all of your videos on Instagram about it, right? So I'm like, I feel like I like kind of know what it is, but not also like not at all. I just am like, wow, this line means this. And Amanda says that and I trust Amanda. So can you tell us like what the heck I guess it is?
Sure. Yeah, it's so funny because I've just recently started posting it again, but I've been an iridologist for 5 years and I do use it in my practice quite a bit. Like, you know, because when I look at somebody from a health and wellness perspective, like, you know, I look at everything. I analyze DNA, I analyze lab work, and I usually do have them send me images of their eye. So iridology is naturopathic. So a lot of naturopaths can do it. It is like a study of the iris. The thing about iridology is that what it shows is things that are passed down, inherent stuff. So it's very similar actually to looking at DNA or genetics, because the things that we'll see in the iris can actually show three generations back. So it can show stuff that's happening in your body, but it also can show things that have been passed down. So there's a lot of predisposition. So it's not diagnostic, but it can show you A, the things that you've basically come into this world already being, you know, predisposed to, and it can show you areas of weakness or areas of inflammation with the body. So I always tell people to view it as like a couple of things. One, it's prevention. So you might have markers in your eyes for different things. Like, you know, let's say something comes up like cancer, like it's not meant to be scary. It could be somebody had it in your ancestral line. Or if things come up like around digestive issues or diabetes, like things will come up a lot in that area. I always say like your lifestyle can change that, similar to your genetics, right? You can have a gene that predisposes you to getting a certain type of cancer or getting diabetes or having high cholesterol, but the way you live and act, you know, and the way you do things can prevent that. So that's how we look at it. And so it really helps to tell you a lot about yourself, a lot about your body, the way that it works. And also it can tell you a little bit, there's a little bit of personality stuff in some of the study I do, but like, I feel like people are so different. So I kind of take that a little bit with a grain of salt, like, cause I just think, but the iridology stuff, I will say like, I do a lot of readings. I've done a lot of them over the past 5 years. They are really accurate, like spookily accurate. So you kind of like, you take and leave it, because some things you might not even know. Like there might be things that show up and it's like three generations back. Like I have no idea what their health issues were. Like I have no idea what was going on. Like, but like things will come up, like diverticulitis and like things from just like the past that kind of will come up in our irises, which is really, really cool.
That's freaking crazy. What is, I guess, like the most interesting thing that you've ever seen in somebody's eye?
The most interesting I've ever seen in somebody's eye. So I get really excited when I see stuff I don't see all the time. Like there's some things that are sort of like I see a lot of. It's like the same type of person that has like the same type of structure. Like I usually like see, these are the people that are really interested in this. It's like kind of funny. So if I see something different, I started recently, I got something that I had never seen before, which was, it was kind of like, it almost looked like if you were looking at the iris, it looked like the iris wasn't an even circle. And what that is they call it a diathesis, and it like almost had a white piece. So it kind of looked like there was like a white bump in the iris. And in the particular place that it was, which was on the left side of the iris, it had to do with the mother-daughter relationship, and it was in the maternal eye. And I should say that when we look at the eyes, the right eye, which is your right eye, is your paternal. And the left eye, which is your left, is the maternal. Okay, so that's the line. So when we see things that come up in those irises, then you will be like, okay, like, yeah, my mom had ovarian cancer, or like things like that, right? So it was in her maternal eye, and it showed the relationship between the mother-daughter, and it also showed hormone disruption, like within both of them, and like endocrine issues and like and psychological issues within the mother and like the relationship. And the person had gotten back to me and she was like, oh my God, like my mother has depression, she has anxiety, she has all this stuff. And it was like super wild. So it was like really, really cool to see. And I was like so excited about that. Sorry about your mom, but like really cool.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I could see that. Just, I don't know, it being the things that you don't see every day. And like, I'm curious then if you like pick up on them more in other people, or like once you see them. I'm also curious, like when you meet someone, I guess it would be kind of hard because you'd have to be like, hi, let me look at your eyeball super close. When you meet somebody for the first time, or I guess whatever it is, like, can you immediately tell things about them like based off of that? Like it reminds me of, and you are obviously also an incredibly intuitive person, and I know obviously Cindy gets this too, but like sometimes I will walk into a room and I'm like the energy is just off, or it feels really dense, or I'll meet somebody and it's like I immediately, like I know right away if I am going to, I don't want to say like that person, but like have synergy with that person versus something's like off about them. And you just know, and you don't know how to explain it, but it just is like your intuition. Like this is kind of what that reminds me of, but like using a different modality. It's with an eyeball. So I mean, yeah. Can you tell those things right away?
There are certain things that I can see right away. When I started doing this, like it was so crazy because I've always been obsessed with eyes. Like I used to doodle eyes when I was like in high school. Like that was like always a thing I did. Like I just think irises are so beautiful. And I now, when I watch TV, when I watch movies, when I talk to people, like I'm always looking at their eyes. Like there are things that I like will notice, and I kind of just like laugh to myself. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm like, they have a stagnant lymphatic system. Like, you know, like. So there are certain things like the scurf rim in particular, which Cindy, you do have on your iris. So it's like a little bit of this darker ring around the iris. That one's really noticeable in people without having to be like up in somebody's face. And so because it's like this darker thing, right? So like some of the specific markers, like they're called lacunae. They look like flower petals. Like those are things that are really specific markers. Those I can't always see unless I like really have an image and can sit down with the person's iris. But I can see like if you have a color in your iris, like I can see that right away, right? Like you can see if somebody has like yellow in their eye. And so like that's how I can kind of tell things. But I'm usually not like analyzing it. But like I'm like, you know, like there's some things I could see right away.
What about when people have two different colored eyes?
So I've definitely gotten that question a lot. I think it's because of the maternal and the paternal. Like, it's just like really like, and I know that there's like genetics involved with that as well, but like, I think it's really interesting. It usually is like the maternal line and the paternal line where they like end up with a different color iris. And those people are really fun to read, obviously, because they have so much like different stuff going on. But people don't necessarily realize like that's an extreme case of difference in the eye color. But irises are like fingerprints. Every single iris is different. Like, your irises are not the same. Like, every single iris is different. And so it's like that's just an extreme case of that. But yeah, those people usually have like a lot going on in their personalities, like a lot happening.
I have another sister, not the one I called out earlier, who technically has like two different colored eyes, like, or like, I don't know how to say, half of one of her eyes is like a little different color than the other. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool. And I've always, I don't know, since we're on the
Oh my
topic of
God.
eyes, I thought
Well,
that'd
half of it is like, what color is it?
be.
What's the
She's
color?
kind of like my, like green and blue, like hazel, brown,
Okay. What's
hazel, I think.
the extra color though? Is it
Like,
brown? Is it like
instead
a
of being like
brown?
green, it's more like hazily or more brown. Like, I think, or maybe it's more blue instead of green. Like, it's all within the same, but
Interesting.
you can tell they're like two different colors.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Well, because I was thinking like if there was a yellow overlay, like
Oh, maybe
yellow
it's
is
yellow.
usually like yellow, like so like let's say like part of it looked green, right? And there was a yellow overlay, like that's kidney stuff. So whatever
Oh.
eye that's in, like you'd be like, okay, like either she has predisposition to having like issues within the kidney or like clearing the kidneys.
Oh.
Or it's like then it would be whatever eye would be like, okay, is it the parent or grandparent, et cetera, and you kind of like go through that way. How I do it is like then I would be like, okay, I'm looking at your iris. You have yellow in yours as well, Cindy. Like then I always say like extra support and love for the kidneys. Like, it doesn't mean that you have a kidney issue. It just means that you are predisposed to kidney issues. And specifically, like in the iris types that are blue and have a lot of yellow, those people are really predisposed to like kidney stones and uric acid buildup. So it's just like being like sure to make sure that you avoid those things. Like, you know, and so to eat the things and do the support to just really take care of that organ.
Just to validate you, I have the world's smallest bladder and I always have to pee. That's all. Maybe TMI for everyone listening, but literally, like, it's a process.
Well, I'm like the exact same way, but yeah, like there's like that yellow, like that is like your kidney. So like you need to be like, you know, drinking dandelion tea and, you know, cranberry and like doing all the things to support the, you know, flushing the kidneys.
Detox the system.
Yeah.
So hearing you talk about the kidneys and hearing you at the beginning of the episode talk about how if you basically detox enough and flush out the system, sometimes eye color will change. Are there any like hallmark signs in the eye that you need to detox? I feel like detox is such a big thing right now, as it should be. I mean, this is like a whole other episode, but I really believe I do a ton of detox. I think we live in like an inherently toxic world, and like our bodies are just not made to deal with the level of toxicity that is in the air and the ground, sprayed on our food, so on and so forth. And like, so yeah, 50 years ago, we might not have needed to detox, but now I think everybody needs to detox. So what, I guess, what are the signs in the eyeball that you need a good detox in your body?
Yeah, so a couple things. So I 100% agree with you. I actually hate when people say like we don't need to detox, our body knows how to
Yes.
do it. Like, yeah, it does, but a lot of us are dealing with methylation pathways that aren't open for detox. Like a lot of people have issues in their liver, or people like you and I who had Lyme, and like detox has saved me in so many ways, and it is a part of my daily. And I'm getting very into this idea of like mind, body, soul detox. It's like kind of like detoxing what's coming in, you know, detoxing the limiting beliefs, like Cindy was talking about before, like, you know, doing the things like Kundalini activation to like cleanse the soul, the aura and the soul space. And then you also need to be cleaning the body. Because like if you want to, you know, raise your vibration and do all of these cool things that we're talking about in spirituality, you need to have a clear vessel. So with iridology, so basically, what'll come up is like things in the colon. It's very, very connected to the digestive system. And then there's a lot connected to the lymph, especially within blue eyes. We call them lymphatic blue. And they really are like my lymphatic blue people like always have lymphatic stagnation, lymphatic issues. They always have ear, nose, and throat issues. They're always congested. Even as kids, my godson is, he's 9 months old and he's had three ear infections, has the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen, but he like has so much mucus and he gets the ear infections regularly. Like, so it's like a really big thing. Like they just can't clear things out the right way. So if I see a lymphatic blue eye, I know automatically this is someone that needs to focus on detox. If I see a scurf rim, I know that that's somebody that needs to focus on detox. In our hazel-eyed friends, I don't want to like, you know, just talk about blue, but in hazel eyes, like me, for example, like my eyes are kind of like a greenish blue with a red brown around my iris, and it covers the collarette. So around the pupil is called the collarette. And so usually that shows us what's happening on the digestive, like in the digestive zone. That's like what it's called. And so my reddish brown covers that. When I see that on somebody, which is also known as a heterochromia, when I see that on somebody, I know that they have a hard time digesting via the colon. So like they might have an issue with, you know, IBS or like constipation, or like they just have digestive concerns. So if I see that in somebody's iris, then I might recommend like colon hydrotherapy, you know, or something like that. And then the other thing I would say is like, I look at the iris and I also look at the white of the eye, which is the sclera. And so like, if somebody has a little bit of like a yellowish tint, or if the iris looks cloudy, then I know that that person needs to detox. Like I will get, like, I have gallbladder stuff that I learned from iridology. And I know that when I eat fatty foods, I actually will get like a little bit of a fat pocket in the white of my eye. And like, then I know that like, I'm eating too much fat. I need to like, you know, clear out. So like, there's just like certain markers that you can see, like based on like your particular eye type. And brown eyes are very much digestive system related. And they're also related to blood congestion. So like, that's why it's like, we call them hematogenic brown, and hazel is a mix between the two, right? It's called mixed biliary. So in brown eyes, like, you know, your eyes are really dark, Allie, so it's hard for me to like see, but there are people who have brown eyes who will have like some yellow tint. Like you did have a little bit of like color, right? Of like an orangey like tint. You'll see like a little bit of color. Like, so if it's orange, then it's gallbladder. If it's yellow, then it's kidney. And if it's like brown in general is liver. So think about it. Your whole eye is brown. That's like liver support for like hematogenic people, like always.
Gosh, and that makes so much sense for me. Thankfully, like my liver enzymes and stuff are good now. But when I was really, really sick, I had liver issues. My liver was like failing actually when I was at my sickest. Yeah. And thankfully, we were able to, like, this was a long time ago, but like bring it back into balance. But like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And those are all good things to know. So I'm curious to ask for all of our listeners at home, are there any like basics you can share of like looking at your own eye or reading your own eye if somebody wants to go into their bathroom and peel an eye open and kind of see what's going on?
I tend to make people a little bit crazy because every time people see these things, they like, this is what they do. And people will like message me on Instagram. They're like, I'm looking at my eye and I'm like, book a session. Like, don't just send me pictures of your eyes. Like, I can't, like, they'll be like, do you know? And I'm like,
Most people get like other unsolicited pictures online and you're getting like unsolicited eyeball pictures.
Yeah.
I love this.
Iris picture the new dick pics. I have a folder on my phone of people's eyeballs, like all the people I know. Like I have like, and now you guys are added to it. Like I don't keep my clients in there, like my friends and family.
We don't need OnlyFans. We have Instagram DMs with eyeball photos.
Yeah, totally. Oh, it's so hot. Yeah, it's like super weird. If you're going through my phone, you'd be like, well, I'm like, oh, that's my mom, my dad, my husband. I know who like everybody's are. So the way that I look at iridology is you can look at it at a very basic level. And then there's like very specific ways that you can like go. Like it's actually like very, very detailed. Like when I do a reading for somebody, I always work from the outside in. So I start by looking at the color. So first and foremost, you can look at the color. That's something that you can do at home. And so there's three different constitutions. There's hematogenic brown, lymphatic blue, and then there's mixed biliary, which is hazel, or like, let's say a blue eye with a brown heterochromia. So that's like super basic, right? But then we're talking about these irises that are so unique. So then we go down a layer and we go into looking at the fibers in the iris. So you can take a look at your fibers, and depending on how close together or far apart the fibers are, which is like if you have white squiggles, let's say, like, let's just use layman terms, right? Like you have like squiggles in the iris that come out from the pupils, how close or far apart they are will show you how strong your constitution is. So for example, if they're really tight together and you don't see any at all, you're like, okay, like I can't really see, like there's no like in between, there's no like, you know, the like flowery petals, like it's really tight. That is a neurogenic type. So that is the strongest structure, and it kind of goes from there. So the tighter it is, the stronger the structure. However, the neurogenic type are people that are super type A. It also like with your personality, like very, very like, you know, they're very controlling. They like want everything to like be a certain way. And those are mostly the people that come to see me because they want to know what's going on with their iris. Like that's always, and I have neurogenic, and they also are people that have nerve pain. So like people with fibromyalgia, like these are like people, like it's like very much nervous system related, both autonomic and central. But they have really sensitive immune systems. So they're very, very sensitive. So they're very strong and very sensitive. And as it goes down, it kind of goes from there. And so like, if you have someone who, if they're really open, those people have a lot of lacunae in their iris. So those people like get sick more often. They just like are people who, you know, are just have much more sensitive bodies. Like, and they're not as, and they're way more go with the flow. They're a little bit like flowery, like their eyes literally look like flowers. And you're like, wow. And they're like flower children, which I just wish my iris was like that. It's just not. And then you can also look at, like, I think it's just really good to always be looking at like the colors that you see in your iris. Like I said, like in the white of your eye as well, because the iris doesn't change colors, as we were saying before. Like if you have a marking in your iris, like you probably have had it since birth, or maybe it'll show up, but they don't go away. Like it's not like you can like heal something that you had and it goes away. So, but your sclera, the white of your eye, is much more reactive. So that is telling us what's going on now. There's some inherent stuff there, but it's really what's going on now. So if there is like, you know, yellow, or if there's like, we call like there's an alert, like an allergy web, we call it, if there's like a lot of like little red squiggly lines around the iris, that would be like that you're having an allergic reaction to something. So like always be looking for the colors, and then you can just use this very basic thing, which is yellow is kidney, brown is liver, orange is gallbladder. So you can just kind of take a look at your own iris and see like if you have some of those colors, and that's like very, very basic level, because then we go and we look at the pupil and we can see the spine issues in the pupil, and every marker is a different thing. Like there's so much, but those are like really basic if you want to just like take a look.
Oh my gosh, well that's great. And I will say, like, if you're listening and you really want to go in depth on your eye and iridology, go to Amanda Nova Wellness on Instagram, hit the link in her bio and book a session, and then DM us and tell us what you find, because now I'm curious. I also want to know, just for fun, because you always post such like interesting videos on it, once again on Instagram, is there like a famous person where you can give us like a quick eye reading of them?
I could do a little bit. I recently had done Megan Fox, and then I did Taylor Swift, and people came at me like, I was like, oh my God. Like,
why?
It was like, I don't know. I think it was because I chose her, which I was just doing because it was top of mind. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, this is someone we all know. Like, let's just be like related to people. just because people have such strong feelings about her, and I know, Cindy, you are like, you are one of the people who positively, but they're like, she's polarizing, right? So like, and I didn't want to be in that conversation. So I took it down. Like, I don't want to participate in this conversation. Like, people were going, they were like, leave Taylor alone. I was like, oh my God.
Like, I'm not doing anything to Taylor.
I'm not doing anything to Taylor. Like, I swear. Like, and people are just like, I'm sick of her, you know, like whatever. It was like, whatever anybody's opinion was, it was like too much for me. But I will say about Taylor. So Taylor has blue eyes, and she had a hyper acidic type, which is like, so again, like we're look at the structure, right? Which how close or how far the fibers were apart, and hers were neurogenic. So like that, like really tight. But then I also look at what's called accumulation type. And so hers was hyper acidic, and that means that there's a lot of white in the fibers. And so when we see that, like that's also related to like a lot of people that have a lot of white in their eyes are very intuitive people. It doesn't mean that people with brown eyes aren't intuitive, but like when people have like those ice eyes, like those are usually like people like very, very intuitive, like very spiritually connected. And she definitely had that in her iris. Also with our hyper acidic, they also end up with having like skin issues as kids. So like dry skin or eczema, they like are very like skin sensitive. So they do really well with things like dry brushing, you know, just really, and they can't put anything on their skin that is like scratchy or not organic. Like, so just like very sensitive to like toxins and things like that. I think she also had yellow in her iris. I'm not really sure. Her eyes were similar to yours, Cindy, actually, because you are also you're hyper acidic, but you're hyper acidic, febrile, it's called. So you're hyper acidic, but you also have like this yellow, like a lot of yellow going on in the white of the fibers. So I picked some, and I haven't like fully done them yet. I had picked out like Anne Hathaway, who has really brown eyes and like stuff. I'm like, I'm gonna pick people that I like from now on, and like let's just like
yes.
not die on this hill. I'm like, this is not the hill I'm dying on today, but you know.
No, not worth dying on that hill. I am excited to see Anne Hathaway though, because I love Anne Hathaway. So that's exciting.
Yeah, hers are brown, and like, you know, also one thing I will say, like people who have brown eyes, like true brown eyes, like they are just like the warmest, most loving people. Like one of the big things about like the brown eyes is like they're people who like want to feed you. And like, mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting that like people who have brown eyes, like there are a lot of cultural, you know, mm-hmm. associations with the brown eyes, where like it's like a lot of like Italian people, and like my mm-hmm. family, my in-laws are half Puerto Rican, and like they all have these super duper brown eyes, and they're just like so loving and like want to feed you. And like my husband, his brother, they all have super dark brown eyes. So, and you're,
I would like to make two celebrity requests, please. And then when you put them, just tag me so I can share it. Number one, could you do Princess Diana's? I know she's passed, but like I would love to see Princess die. Like I would love to see. And then also in the royal family, like Kate Middleton, because all the stuff that's going on with her health wise, like obviously I want her to get better soon. But I'd be so curious if there's anything in her eyes too about like digestion, or maybe even like when mm-hmm. I mean, she said she had cancer, which is obviously sending all our love to her. Want her to get better.
Yeah.
But I'd be so curious if there's anything in her iridology about that, because she's so young, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like their eyes are readily available to like find, hopefully on the internet.
Yeah. What type of cancer does she have? Do you know?
I don't think she said. I don't believe. We just know that she did like a stomach or surgery or like a colon thing, and then they found it. But who knows? It could be uterine. Like there's a lot going on in that area in your body. It could have been anything. And she didn't say yet. So
Okay. Because I'm curious. Like because I will be able to see like a marking in. So another thing to point about the iris is like it's kind of like reflexology in the way that like it's like a map. So like, I don't know if you guys are doing like video, but like this is my map. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is like, I have this mirror upside down. Okay. And these are like all the different parts of the body. Like this is like insane, right? So based on where the markings are, like I look and make that correlation and like can see like what part of the body that relates to. And again, like it could be inherited. A lot of times with cancer, we'll see like a black mark, like a true black mark will show either cancer from, again, like inherited or like within the body, or it'll show like a tumor that might be like benign. or something like that. So like there's, you know, so yeah, I,
right. I'm just curious. These were just like, these are selfish curiosities. And I just, I love Princess Diana and like all the things she did for the world and everything she went through. And hers would probably be more like personality, I guess. And like, then health, but, same thing with, Kate, I don't know. I just find this stuff.
That's so interesting. Yeah, no, I would love to do that. I love just like seeing, like all the different things that people have going on. And then the celebrities are fun too, because like, as I'm like doing this, like you don't have confirmation, right? Like I get a lot of validation from my clients, but like, you're looking at this and I'm like, I wonder like how Taylor's skin is. Like, did she have dry skin as a child? Yeah. Like, curious. Like, does she get itchy sometimes?
Yeah.
You know, but like, again, like it doesn't, you know, you could have like the best skincare routine and like this never shows up ever. But like, usually the stuff, like the childhood stuff and blue lymphatic eyes, like I was saying, like that usually is like present.
So wild.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it so much. It's crazy.
So crazy. Well, on that note, I know we were laughing about it before we started recording, but Cindy and I sent Amanda photos of our eyeballs so that she could give us a small download on what she saw. So I'm curious to know, in either of us, was there anything interesting, anything noteworthy, and you know, anything going on?
Okay, let's I wrote them down, okay, because like, you know, the memory is only so great these days. A lot of things in here. Okay, so Allie, I'll start with you because you have super duper dark brown eyes and you literally sent me one eye and you're like, I can't do this. I can't stop laughing. And like, B, like, I can't see anything in this iris, right? And I was like, I could see enough. Just give it to me.
The camera roll photos were literally insane. Like it.
I've been there, you know.
Because we took them all on my husband's phone. I was like, we have to delete all of these because it just looks so weird. You have like 25 photos of my eyeball. And we just like could not get the camera to focus on my eye. So I'm sorry. That
I got the funniest photo a couple weeks ago from a client. Like normally people do that and then they'll like cut it so I can like only see the eye. This person sent me the picture of them holding up their iris. And like this woman, like she was so beautiful. She had like curly hair and she just like, and it was just a picture of her holding her iris, like her eye open. And I was like, I literally burst out laughing. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so terrible. But like, it was just so, it was so funny. Cause it just looks so silly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, okay. We'll do you first. Cause I don't have as much to glean from that photo.
Perfect.
But you have hematogenic brown. So our hematogenic brown people usually have gastrointestinal issues like nervous stomach, IBS, that started in childhood and still happens. A lot of times in childhood, you'll see things like a milk allergy or a lactose allergy. A lot of them really struggle with dairy. Personality-wise, I had already mentioned like really loving. As kids, they're like super lively and hyperactive and they're really, really passionate people. Like these are people that like really are passionate about everything that they do. They don't really function well when they're doing things that they aren't passionate about. They're like, no, I don't want to do this. So that's just like a little bit on like just hematogenic in general. And then also just like a note on hematogenic, like I was saying, like it's very much related to the liver and then also like blood congestion. Like a lot of times people later in life with hematogenic irises like will end up with things like varicose veins. Like they just, there's a lot of like blood stuff that goes on with hematogenic. So again, just like thinking about preventative stuff. You also have a neurogenic structure. Like you literally have no breaks in your fibers at all. Like if I could even see your fibers. So issues really manifest within the nervous system. So structurally you're the strongest, but you have the most reactive immune system, which makes me laugh because I know you. So like, as I'm like writing this down, I'm like, duh. Like, I mean, yeah, and me too, right? It's like, okay, like you have a really sensitive nervous system and your nervous system reacts to everything. And then on top of that, you have nerve rings. So I could see a little bit, and this is like me almost going blind, like trying to like get into your iris, but like you have like, they're called contraction furrows. And so like, they kind of look like little waves almost like of the, almost like waves coming up on the shore. It's like how I kind of look at them, and they are different depending on their color and stuff. Like sometimes they're light, sometimes they're really dark and intense. Some people have a lot of them. They see them a lot in brown eyes. And so you have like a little bit of the nerve rings in there, and those are called like cramp rings or nerve rings. And so that again shows nervous system stuff, but it also shows a really reactive digestive system, which means that from if you like get nervous or you get upset, usually that'll manifest in the digestive system, meaning that like you'll either get constipated or you'll like, you know, have to keep running to the bathroom. Like it's like usually manifesting in the digestive system. And it also can show things like, you know, like you get muscle cramps really easily, like you have body pain really easily. Like it's like just almost like nervous tension, like stuck in the body. Like they get nervous headaches a lot. Like it's like very like nervous energy within the body.
Yeah, literally spot on. You just read me like a book, baby. Read me like
literally
a book.
We were just, Allie and I were talking the weekend. She was just saying, she's like, I just want to do more projects that are passionate to me. And that's what I want my mm-hmm. whole day to be. And I was like, get it. Great.
Get it. Mm-hmm. Get it. Do it. Okay. Cindy, you have lymphatic blue. So all about the lymphatic system. Many, many, many of them have lymphatic stagnation. And again, so ear, nose, and throat problems that start within childhood because of there's just a lot of congestion, a lot of infections, maybe, you know, issues within the tonsils. Like if there is this kind of like universal issue of like I would try to move out congestion that kind of like gets stuck. So like doing lymphatic support is super, super key for you. Also skin issues. So like skin issues show up a lot. So again, like that dry skin, eczema, and allergies, like your skin is very reactive. Blue-eyed people's skin reacts to everything. So it's not just toxins in the environment, but also emotional things will manifest on your skin. So like you might notice that like, you know, your cheeks flush or you start getting itchy around people that like are bothering you, like they're getting under your skin and you start like scratching, like these things tend to like manifest on the skin. Like everything is like about that, like, you know, that skin organ. In adults, uric acid buildup for kidney stones is a really, really big deal. So a lot of them will end up with kidney stones. Like you have to be really careful that uric acid. There's something about the blue lymphatic eye's inability to really break down the uric acid. So like a high protein diet, like not for you. Like you need to be, you know, eating a lot of like super fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and like fresh juices and like, you know, eating more of a plant forward type of diet to like move things out. They also really have a strong disposition for adrenal fatigue. So like really frying themselves out, which is also similar of the neurogenic type. It's like you go, 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 and then you fry yourself out. And like your adrenal system just can't handle that. So it's like you kind of like will feel like, you know, you have that energy to go, 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 and then you feel fatigued. Like you just like drop and you're like, I can't do anything for like days. Like nobody talked to me. So like, you know, and then you also had some contraction furrows. So like you definitely have that like high strung kind of like, you know, personality where you're like, you know, dealing with, yes, it's like nervous system issues, but it's also that like personality of like, go, go, go. Like I need to do everything. I need to do it all. I'm going to ignore all signs for stop and just like keep moving through and then you crash. And so like for, you know, it's really good to support with Nervine herbs and adaptogenic herbs to just like help your body deal with stress in terms of like, you know, physiological stress, but also like, you know, stress in the environment and just different things that are surrounding you. Something else just came into my brain and then flew out of my brain. Okay, it'll come back to me. Okay, so you also have a SCRF rim, which is the lymphatic. So again, like the darker circle around the pupil, around the iris, I'm sorry, that is actually it's not a buildup of things there. It's actually like the fibers don't make it all the way out to like the outside of the iris. And so that is where our skin essentially is. So people have a SCRF rim, they don't sweat all that often, or maybe they have a hard time sweating, or they sweat a lot. Like there's like kind of like there's like no like middle ground with like there's just like a lot of skin stuff that goes on. They really do have a hard time with like edema, holding on to water weight. Sometimes they have a hard time losing weight. Like they can't like get things like to move through. And so I always say, like if I see a SCRF rim, I always tell people to, you know, do lymphatic stuff, like do the cupping massages that I talk about, or do rebounding, or sweat. Like, make sure you are getting a sweat. Also dry brushing. And then again, like making sure that you aren't taking on toxins via the skin. Like your shampoo and conditioner, your skincare, like it's all super important. Like, has to be super clean, because like Ali was saying, like a toxic world, like you are going to be responding to that like just so much more severely than other people are, because you have that. And then just a couple of things like in like your specific markings. So your left eye, which is your maternal, there was a brown mark in the lower abdomen or ovaries, and this can show like endocrine issues or hormonal issues, which again could be like you, or it could be through the line of like your mom or your grandmother. Additionally, in that iris, there was a marking in lung and there was a marking in brain. So again, it could be inflammation, or it could be, you know, that somebody had something in one of those areas, or had a, you know, had a tumor or a benign tumor. Like there were like these, like you have like these little leaks, like they're called lacunae, and you had those in those areas. That also can show, you know, just a need to support those areas. And then in your right eye, which is your paternal, there was something in the neck and shoulder, which could be like a history of headaches, or it can show a history of like psychological concerns. And again, that could be like inherent, right, from like in the paternal line. Or if somebody had a brain tumor, like it would also come up in that spot, but it's like showing that in the neck and shoulder. So like there's a relation there between the headaches that are probably also going into neck and shoulder. And then there were also a few signs for pancreas that came up. So like if somebody had a pancreatic issue in that side of the family, that also came up. And then liver came up on this side as well. So like if somebody has like a sluggish liver or something like that, or if you do, like that would be, that came up as well. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is I was able to see your pupil border really well. I don't always get to see that in people's readings, so I wanted to look at it. And you had... and this is in both irises, so it's not really like, it's not a line thing, but you had a trauma border. And so like what that means is there's like a break in this coloration. So did you have a fall or an injury like at some point, like, or something with your spine?
Well, I did not, but I don't really show this, but it doesn't really matter. I have scoliosis, like a slight scoliosis of my spine. So if anyone doesn't know, it's when your spine curves, and it can either curve from left to right or front to back. So some people who are really curved over forward, it's because they have, and you see this a lot in adult people, but I had it since a child. So my mom also had it so badly that she has to have like rods in her back and stuff like that. I did not need that. Like my spine grew pretty straight, but I do have a slight scoliosis, which then throws off my neck and shoulders, because I do like it, like just, it's not straight, and it, you know, it's fine. Yeah. But so I don't know that it was a trauma like in my life. Like I was, as I was growing, it just evolved. It wasn't like,
yeah. And like accident. When we say trauma here, it's not like you were hit by a car. Like,
okay, because exactly. It's like, yes.
Yeah. Like
my mom was, but I was not.
Okay. Yeah, because they also have like there's something in the sclera called trauma fork, which is like when it like splits off. And when we say that, it's not like how we view trauma. It's more of like an injury or something was hit, or like, you know, it could be something really simple of like when you were younger, you like fell down and bumped your head, and that like things will like show up like that, like, or a concussion. Like, so that's just kind of like the way we view it. Not
well, as that did I, happen. I have a scar on my forehead from that.
Yeah, so that would be what it was probably. Like, it's not so much as like the way we view trauma, where we're like, okay. You're like, no, I'm fine. Like, I'm okay.
Well,
like,
I mean, but the spine, I mean, I didn't like, I wasn't like in a car accident that like made me like, you know, like paralyzed. Thank God. Like, you know, nothing like that has happened, but I did fall down when I was little and hit my forehead. I have like a scar on it. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Well, there you go. And crazy. So, yeah. Does any of the other stuff resonate with like, I mean, well, neck and shoulder, you just said. So like that makes total.
No, the skin stuff is very accurate. I love my skin. Like, I have the, like, people compliment me on it, like, all the time. Like, we're up close. Like, oh my God, your skin's amazing. Like, it's the best. But if I do anything that is remotely not 100% clean or organic, non-paraffin, all the things, it turns into, like, hives for weeks. Like, it just, it does. I mean, I was with Allie one time, and I had citrus, and I shouldn't have. My whole face started getting hives. It was bad. My throat, it was bad. So I, it shows, any allergy first shows up in my skin. That's the first place I know that I'm like, oh, I had something, or I took something, or I was near something that didn't doesn't jive. I don't eat a lot of meat, so that was accurate. I love like plant forward, fresh fruit, fish sometimes, but don't eat a lot of meat. What else am I gonna say? The lymphatic, I'm always saying that I need more lymphatic support. Like I need more lymphatic drainage. Like I should probably actually find someone here in New York who does that. I mean, I know there's a bunch because I feel like I'd really benefit from that. And I either lose weight really quickly or I cannot lose it at all, which is one of the things I'm like struggling with a little bit right now is I'm like this, what is happening? It's normally when I put my mind to it, not hard to lose, but it just, and it happens quick. And lately it's not. So I'm like, I feel like there's something else off. Maybe it's the endocrine thing, like all that stuff. But yeah, and then the spine is very accurate, neck, shoulder. I used to get a lot of headaches, but then I went off birth control and those stopped. So who knows if that was actually like a symptom of that, you know, versus what was actually happening. And not sure. I can't necessarily validate the lung or the, I think is it pancreas or the other things. And who knows, maybe down the road it might, you know, I don't
hopefully
know, but
not.
I haven't.
Hopefully
no,
not.
Hopefully
but
not,
again,
but.
But again, it's three generations back, right? So like you'd have to like literally go back into the family history, and that's like what makes it a little bit complicated. And so like I always say to people, like it's like I would say like 95% to 100% accurate. Like you're never gonna have a reading. Oh. And I know you probably experience this as well. Like it's never gonna be a 100% because it's like you don't even know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So,
but
thank you so much.
Makes a lot of sense. You're welcome.
That was so fun. I have to ask him one more selfish question, and I don't wanna like totally open a can of worms, so you know, you just like redirect. But can you do this for pets?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Okay.
And would you do this for Tosh? Because I'm like,
yes. So pet iridology is something. Okay, so
I know. I feel like we're like wrapping up, and I'm opening a whole nother can of worms. But literally, it came to me, and I'm like, I swear to God, someone listening must be like about to ask this question. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But like, I had to ask.
You have to. Okay. So yes, you can. This is so funny because I actually took a class on pet iridology, and I have like a book on it. I don't know it as in it. Like, I mean, I could do it. Like, you know, like if you send it to me, like I'll be able to do it. But like, it's so funny. Like, I decided to do this like when I was doing the iridology, and I was like, okay, like I want to also like, you know, learn this because my cat looked, I had never been able to get a picture of my cat's iris, like never, like there's no way. And I'd be like, I'm like, come here. I'm like, come here, let me look at you. I'm like, how's your digestion? But you can, there is a whole different thing of pet iridology. Actually, iridology started with an owl. So somebody was actually able to
stop it. Sorry. I freaked out. You know, owls are like our thing
crazy.
Here.
Yeah, so it actually started with an owl, and the guy was like doing like, he was like able to like notice that this was like a thing. And then it's like one of the ways that it like started. And so, yeah, you definitely could do it. If you send me like a really good picture of his iris, I can do it for you.
Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned. I got to give him to stand still long enough. Okay. I think I can do it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's why I can't get my cat to, because she's like, get away from me.
I feel like I have a better shot with him. I feel like treats might be involved. He also has like the vet coming soon for a dentist coming up soon that he has to kind of, they have to be like, I don't want to say sedated, but just sort of like calmed for that.
Yeah.
So maybe we do kill two birds with one stone. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Scout's pretty calm. I could probably get one of Scout's eye. Or Amanda, or send her unsolicited pet eyeball photos now too. Human
it's,
photos.
Oh my god, now she's gonna get
it's fine if it's you guys. It's just like when random people I always tell people like just book a session. And I also will say like just a little note about the way I do iridology sessions is like I actually do them recorded because I like to like sit. I actually like have you send me a picture of an iris, like I sit with it, I look at it, and like I pull together this like really beautiful like deck essentially, and then I send you like me like presenting it to you, because I can do it on the fly, like we're doing it here, and you know, like I can do that, but like I'd rather like sit there and really like stare at it and like get really up and close and personal to be able to like figure out where everything is, and like, you know, it takes me a lot longer than like, you know, you'd think.
Well, there's so much time and energy that goes into these things, it makes complete sense to me. All right, to wrap things up, I want to hear about Nebula Soul.
Okay.
So tell me everything.
Okay. I feel like we're shifting gears. Okay, so
I was gonna say that was a hard left.
Yeah.
Hard left.
Yes. Is everybody still in their seats?
Pivot. Or... No, just kidding. I'm out of the car.
Yes, hands and legs inside the vehicle. We're just taking a sharp turn. Okay, putting that hat on. So I just recently launched Nebula Soul Method in God, I guess like at the beginning of the year, even though it feels like I've been doing it such a longer time. Like I just kind of like seamlessly like rolled into this. But I have been doing Kundalini activation, and that's what Nebula Soul Method is. And a lot of people here are very familiar with Kundalini yoga, but Kundalini activation really hasn't made its way here yet. Like a lot of people are doing it in like these wellness hubs like Bali and Tulum, and it's like really cool, but it's like not really here yet. And so what it is essentially is like I'm using my Kundalini energy to activate your Kundalini energy. So our Kundalini energy is coiled at the base of our spine. It's sort of like a snake. That's why it's also called serpentine energy often. It's also known as Shakti, divine feminine energy, or life force energy. So it's usually at the base of our spine. And some people have, you know, there are many ways to awaken it and rise it, you know, like breath work. You know, some people have awakened their Kundalini with sex and like all different kinds. There's all kind of like crazy stuff that goes on, but like this is a really safe way of doing it. Like, so you're not having like some random awakening, but some people's is already open, you know, Kundalini yoga, et cetera. And what I do is essentially using my energy to help yours to either awaken or to rise. And as it rises, it goes through the chakras and it helps to clear out anything that is like stuck and stagnant. So it's like this really beautiful, like clear, high frequency energy. And it like clears out things that are stuck, goes to exactly where like it's needed to go. But then it also has the ability to, you know, it makes you feel more creative. You get clarity. Sometimes it unlocks people's gifts, spiritual gifts. That's what happened to me. Like I started speaking light language and being able to do all of these insane things that I could not do, or maybe things I had been doing my entire life, like when I really thought about it, but like, it was like, I wasn't fully opened to it. And then the more Kundalini activations that I did, like the more that I was able to really like embody those things and channel and really like lean into it. And people tend to feel euphoric and blissful. And it's kind of like a high without taking drugs. Like it's kind of like a psychedelic high. So I have been doing that online and in person, and people have been having crazy, crazy releases. And if somebody cries in a session or a class, I feel like a success. Like I'm like, yes. But I also have people whose bodies go crazy and like move. And like, I've just been seeing all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's just, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's really neat. And it sounds like such an open, like safe space too for healing and for release and all these things, which is really special.
Yeah, it is. And I think like, you know, just kind of like connecting it to all of the iridology stuff and all the stuff I've done before, because like, I think like, you know, people know me for lymphatic stuff and they know me for really connecting the body and the mind and soul and all this stuff. And so like, for me, like this is kind of like the soul piece of like what I do. Like I do so much with the nervous system and the mind, and I do so much with the body piece. And like, this is really the last like piece of the puzzle, which is why like it's a triangle, is the logo. It's like really mind, body, soul. And I think where this is going to be going is like detox of the mind, body, and soul, right? Like it's clearing the body, like clearing the physical form, doing some of the other things that I do, like nutrition and lymphatics. And then it's like, this is like the soul clearing part, right? It's like awakening and clearing. Mm-hmm. So it's all connected. And then the nervous system is how you ground and come down from all this, right? Like you have to be able to have a strong nervous system to be able to hold a lot of energy and high vibration. Otherwise it kind of like, it could really knock you off kilter. So I'm excited about it.
Well, now I know, I'm like, I already know what our third and fourth episode will be together. I'm like, it's definitely more info on Nebula Soul and Kundalini activation, everything in that realm. But then it's also physical pain in the body and what those things mean. Because originally I was hoping to get into that today. But I feel like covered so much that I know, I'm like, people have so much to digest. I just want to let them like sit with this. So now I know that at the very least, we will be having you back two more times.
Poor Amanda. I think this is my third time here.
So a fourth and fifth time.
Yeah. So I think our first episode, exactly, we did the same thing. We're like, I need to come back and talk about more stuff. So like, there's so much to discuss. And I will say I actually was on a podcast last week, and they had me channel light language like on the spot, and it was like insane. And like then afterwards, like the host was like, she was like channeling and meditating, and she was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what you opened up, but like something happened. And so like, we can also just like, we could do a little kundalini and some, we could do some light language too.
Yes. Maybe this has to be like a slightly spiritual Zoom, at like a virtual event at some point. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be so fun.
Oh, I just got like a shiver.
Drop that seed into the universe now.
Yeah. Drop it in.
Well, this was so fun. Amanda, thank you for joining us for apparently a third time, not a second time. I'm honored that you have allotted so much time to us. If you would like to connect with Amanda, you can do so on Instagram at Amanda Nova Wellness, and all of her information is linked in her Instagram bio, and we will of course put everything in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening to Slightly Spiritual and joining us every Monday. Bye.